Where I have done nothing but destroy and tear people down, I challenge you to look in the archives and find a message where we don't just preach at one particular individual's set group or minority, but we preach kingdom. So I said that I'd tell you where I am on this particular stance. What you will find in this message, you won't find certain names, certain terminologies and certain allusions. What you will find is God's truth. Last week, I was a little bit perplexed when Sandro said from the front, we needed to hear that rebuke. And I'm thinking, that wasn't my intention. But obviously, he heard something that convicted him. So I can't be held accountable for what God says to you. But I can be accountable for what God says through me. So I just pray that you will be blessed. So here's my view on this. Genesis 1. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and he created them female. He created them. That's it. That's my stand. We have man and woman created in the image of God, and then we have all the stuff through the fall of sin, and we end up where we are now, and we have a mishmash. Apparently, there is over 70 to 80 different pronouns for genders. We are all on the list, aren't we? All of us are on the list. So, let's get to my message today. I've been looking at the Beatitudes and been really encouraged by what God says through them. Last week I started in verse 7, but I want to just go back to verse 5 where Jesus says this in verse 5:1. He says, Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and he sat down with his disciples and they sat down with him. Then he goes on to teach them. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to the church. And I just want to read what he says as a backdrop for what I want to bring. And I do pray that you will have ears to hear and eyes to see. It says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then Jesus goes on to talk about salt and light and the way he wants his people to act and react. So I want to pick up by going forward, and I'll go backwards and forwards over the week. So I want you to get my heart. I want you to understand that I am not this overpowering, overbearing individual. There are times where I look at God's word and it reduces me to tears. We heard a song as we come in, all you need is love. Well, let me tell you this, God so loved the world that he died for it. That's what love is. Love says that I will sacrifice myself on the altar so that you can live. That's what love is. Love is not a Hollywood actor and actress running down the beach. Love says, I will take the pain for you. This is what God's church is understanding. This is what God's church is wrestling with. This is what I believe God is saying to his disciples when we talk about love. Blessed are those that are persecuted for my sake, for righteousness. In Matthew 7, it says this, do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brothers, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I like the way Jesus talks. I like that we talk about challenging. This is challenging. talking about sowing and reaping here, there's a principle through scripture. You'll read it through the parables. And this is another principle. The measure you use, you'll be measured back. If you are a hateful person and you sow hate all the time, guess what you'll get back? Hatred in return. If you sow righteousness, righteousness will come back. If you sow peace, peace will come back. If you sow truth, truth will come back. God so loved the world that he gave, didn't he? When we talk about judging here, we can be misunderstood sometimes. So I want you to hear my heart on this. As I look through this, we're called not to judge, but we are called to be fruit inspectors. By your fruits, you will be known. By my fruits, you will know me. If I say, Lord, Lord, by my fruits. If I say that I care for you, by my fruits. If I say that I'll speak the truth, by my fruits. The same with you. So I don't believe we should judge people in a judgmental way, but I do believe we should judge the attitudes, the thoughts of our hearts. The Bible talks about judgment. It says, don't judge those outside the church, but judge those in the church. But not in a judgmental way, because the measure you use, it will be measured back. Judging by their fruits. By their fruits, they will be known. So look at our hearts. Look at my heart. Judge me on my fruit, not on just my words. It talks about, and I like how he puts this, it says, why look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? When you got, I won't tell you the person's name, I used to work with him, and I'd just become a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, full of peace and grace, and I wanted to hit this man with a bit of two-by-two. And this scripture came to mind. Don't take the speck out of his eye when you have a plank in your own eye. See, every time we point forward, what do we say? With three fingers are pointing back. Let's examine our own fruit. Examine our attitudes. Remember, in the beginning, God created male and female. Then we have everything in between. Let God be the judge of the things that he needs to be the judge of. You be the judge because of your righteousness, not because of sowing discord or hatred or falseness. Let's look at what God says. Let's examine our own hearts. I want to examine my heart. When I look at a situation, a circumstance, when I bring a message, it's a privilege. I don't tend to look at people because I can't think when I'm looking at people. And I stare. I stare. As a young man, I used to get into fights because people thought I was eyeing their girlfriend. But I wasn't. I just couldn't see. I couldn't focus. And I stare. And can you imagine? I'm now talking about sexual immorality and adultery. And then I stare at Clive. And he goes, I'm innocent. Why are you preaching at me? So I don't look at people. I speak fast because when I speak, I hope it comes from the heart and not just from the brain. So I don't get chance to think about things. I don't get chance to read what's written down. The Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So it's careful. We have to be careful about what we sow. We have to be careful about what we say. We have to be careful because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So it's not about the words I use today. It's about the words I don't use today. It's about the message that we bring. This is the same message as last week and the week before and the week before and the year before that. This is the message of reconciliation. God says he's given you a ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. If you listen to this on tape, I'm glad you asked. It's to reconcile man who's lost, and that's me and you, to God. The death that's in us, he wants to bring to life. The spirit that people don't have, he wants to indwell. Remember this, whenever you're thinking about the things you do and say, the Bible says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Please try and get this into context. When you say something, God's right there with you because it comes out of the inside. And he dwells within you. When you do something, God's right there with you through his spirit because he's in you. When you come into union, one man with a woman or other, God is there right with you. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. It does matter what we think. It does matter what we say. But judge us by our fruit. Jesus says, to the measure you use, it will be measured back. So there may be a situation and a circumstance where you need to say something. But this, I believe, there's one word in verse 5 that I believe illustrates what Jesus is trying to say here. It says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will be able to see and remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, I believe that we are to be fruit inspectors, but not hypocrites. There was a story in the news, and I don't get into politics, but there was a man who had taken some drugs when he was younger. And people didn't have a problem with the fact he took drugs when he was younger. They had a problem with him because he was in charge of a certain department, and he came down heavy on other people that took drugs. You hypocrite. First take the speck out of your own eye. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then look at the speck in my eye. You see, Jesus is talking about hypocrisy. So let me ask you a question. It might be difficult for some to answer. Who is it that Jesus says has sinned? Who's that? All of us. So, if I say to Caroline and I start talking about sin in her life, and I've got sin in my life, what's that make me? A hypocrite. I'm a sinner saved by grace. So are you, if you know Jesus. But listen, the Bible talks about some of the attributes that some of his early disciples had. Thieves and robbers and sodomites, as such as some of you were. But you were washed, you were cleansed, you were clothed. Let's not be hypocritical when we start to share this gospel, because it is the gospel of good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. There is hope. There is hope. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's look at the speck in our eyes before we take the plank out of someone else's eye. Let's be a people, a church that's not open for hiding away, but open to have an open and honest conversation. Not afraid to have a difference of opinion. What does God say about this? Listen, if I didn't build on a firm foundation as an individual, and I'm no one special, I'm just this fisherman that God has chosen to use. He's called me to be fishers of men. But here's the thing. We either sow truth or we sow a lie, don't we? We have to have a firm foundation, because I'll tell you this, church, when you're standing on a solid foundation, it doesn't matter when the wind and waves come. You'll be able to stand. It doesn't matter, because your foundation is solid. But if you build your house on sand, when the wind and waves come, then your house will fall. The Bible says it like this. It says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't stumble and fall. Because there has been nothing that is strong enough to overpower you yet. The enemy is out to rob and steal and destroy. And that means your relationships, and it means the truth that God has put in your heart. It's for you to wrestle with God's word. It's not for me to tell you who to vote for. It's not for me to tell you that you can't wear a hat if you want to come to church in a hat because you believe you should have your head covered as a woman to pray. It's not for me to tell you that. But if you tell me that you're saved by works, I will disagree with you, because the truth of the word says you're saved by grace. And it says, whoever wants to may come. And that's whoever. There's not a list out there to say if you're this and that and the other, you can't come, is it? Whoever? Are you the whoever? You might meet the whoever. You might meet someone that you totally disagree with. They are the whoever. They may come. And it's for them to seek. Because the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, Jesus says, you will find me. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But as ministers of God's word, we have to start with the truth. And that is Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't misinterpret his word. Don't mistake humanity for the truth. My heart bleeds for people. My heart bleeds for people. They're like sheep going to the slaughter. And there's churches that speak with such venom. There are people that rip apart and destroy. And God says, you hypocrite. He says to the Pharisees, the legalistic people of the day, he says, listen, on the outside you're like a whitewashed tomb, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. We are to be fruit inspectors. We are to speak the truth. And we can disagree with each other, can't we? Don't take offense. Take it to God. Let's not be hypocrites. John 7:24 says this, stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. You see, you have to know what the truth is to know what the lie is. If you're a lazy Christian and you don't bother to read scripture, you don't bother to understand, you take what someone says in the book, then you're going to be corrupt. I told you this would be challenging. You'd be corrupt. But to have a correct interpretation, you need to go back. In the beginning, what did God say? What's he saying to you now? You're the one that's got to live or die, stand or fall on what you believe. But for me, I simply believe this. In the beginning, God created, and then we have this mess. And then we have what we have. All have fallen short, but all can be redeemed. This is the message we should be preaching as a church. This is a message that you should be saying in your highways and byways and conversations with people that may disagree with you, that there is hope. That's the gospel we preach, isn't it? Hope. When we look at Samuel 16, it talks about this. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. Don't look at his height. Don't look at the things that the world look at. How clever is this man? How intellectual is this woman? How much good works do he or she do? No, let's look at the heart. What's that mean? Let's look at the fruit of his life. The Lord does not look at the things people look at, it says. People look at the outward appearance. You can look like a whitewashed tomb and be full of dead men's bones. You can clean the outside of the bowl but do nothing about the inside of the bowl. It's not what goes into a body, the Bible says, that makes a man unclean. It's what comes out of the body. So we have to be careful. We can preach the truth. You might not like it, but we can preach the truth. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. They look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, God, circumcise my heart. Do you know what? One of the most dangerous prayers I ever prayed was, God, soften my heart. Don't pray that if you don't want to see with God's eyes. If you don't want to see the men and the women that are struggling with their sexuality, if you don't want to see into their lives, if you don't want to see the pain and the anguish when they try and take their lives, if you don't want to see that, don't pray that prayer. But there's a hope for them, and there's a hope for me, and there's a hope for you. And his name is Jesus. Is that true? Amen. That's the message we should be preaching. We shouldn't shy away from the truth. I'm not going to tell people that I believe this is okay when I believe it's not. But we're all on the list. It's what we don't say is as important as what we do say. In John 8:15, you judge by human standards. Jesus says, I pass judgment on no one. I'll read another scripture in a moment and I'll explain that. In John 3:17, it says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But he's coming back a second time to judge the world. See, he says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, to tell the world that there's no hope, to tell the world that they're stinking, rotten sinners and they're all going to hell because there is no hope. I came into the world to bring freedom, to bring life and life in all its fullness. How do we find life? He answers the question himself. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. You cannot have the life without the truth, and the only way is through the narrow gate. It's the gospel. This is why I love God's word, because you can't misunderstand it unless you want to misunderstand it. You can't misinterpret it unless you want to misinterpret. Go back to what he says. Put it into context. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would have life in all its fullness. When we make a statement of faith, it's a journey that we're on. Be being saved. Be convicted, be convinced, and move forward. Repent and move forward. You can't move forward unless you repent. I don't want to be a preacher that has an opportunity to preach to hundreds or thousands of people and I give an appeal because of an emotional outburst and a story that I tell and people walk away thinking they're saved. If you don't repent, there is no way forward. So for us, we're on that list. We're on that list. Jesus came to save. He came to build up. He came to encourage. He came to bless. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. We need to judge. Contradiction. Do not judge or you will be judged. But we need to judge rightly. I heard someone else say this, because I'm going to steal it. They say, you go down to the supermarket and you see there's a sale on the fruit and veg and it says, you know, mangoes half price. So you don't go in there and close your eyes and go, oh, I'll just put them in my bag. You inspect the fruit. They're half price because they're rotten, or they're overripe, or they're just right. But you need to inspect the fruit. We're not to judge, but we are to be fruit inspectors. We are to inspect the fruit in our own lives and the fruit in the lives of those around us. When we listen to someone else speaking God's word, we need to know the truth, the whole truth. We need to know that there are people who mask around as angels of light. We need to know that not everybody that says, buy my watch, it's a Rolex. You can believe that if it's only £35, it's a Rolex. When I was a 17-year-old boy, I got locked into a shop that was selling watches. And they got me to believe that this watch, not this watch, but a watch that I was going to pay £12 for, which was a lot of money when I was 17, was a genuine whatever. Something inside of me was becoming nervous, and the guy standing on the door was like a Hulk. And I didn't know what to do, because I was so afraid, I was just going to buy the watch. But in the end, I realised he was a con man, and I walked out. How many of you would have bought the watch? Because it sounds right. I know someone who saw an advert, they were selling a car and it was £3,000 and the book price of that car was £7,000. And they said, that's okay because they want a quick sale. Well, listen, if you have a car that is £3,000, anyone in dealership will give you £4,000 for it, cash, if it's worth seven. It's a con, isn't it? But there's a desire that we want something and we don't see the lie. Same with God's word. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. The biggest form of idolatry is me and you. We set ourselves up as God, judge and jury. It's God's word that judges the attitudes, the thoughts of the heart. It's God's word. And we need to minister his word in grace, but not be afraid to tell the truth. Judge for yourselves what I say. This scripture says, examine my fruit, in other words, Paul is saying. You know, it's a challenging time for the church. This is a conversation that's been wanting to be had for many years, but I believe some people go about it the wrong way because they preach a judgmental message instead of preaching Christ and him crucified. I want to preach Christ and him crucified, so I will be challenging over the next weeks. I will challenge myself and I will challenge us as a congregation. In 1 Corinthians 6:6, it says, if any of you has a dispute amongst one another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment? Indeed, instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? There will be a time of judgment. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have a dispute about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? No, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge disputes between believers, but instead one brother takes another to court, and this in front of the ungodly? We are to judge rightly. Judge one another by our fruits. Judge one another by what God says about us. I know that there was perfection in the garden, but then there was deception in the garden. And now we have me and you, fallen man, don't we? Fallen man and fallen woman. How do we get back there? I told you last week, Christ becomes the bridge. If we seek him, we will find him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter whether you're on drugs, whether you're on alcohol, you're an alcoholic, whether you're someone who's same-sex attracted, you're heterosexual who's living a moral life, you're an adulterer, an adulteress. It doesn't matter. It's for you. We put labels on things, don't we? Christians like to put labels on things. They like to point the finger, and the fingers are pointing back. Judge rightly. But we are to judge, but rightly. We are to judge after we've inspected our own eye so that we can see clearly to take the speck out of someone else's eye. We are to judge rightly by God's word. We are to bring hope and health and well-being. It's a conversation that where should the sinner be? Should the sinner be outside the church or inside the church? Inside the church. Faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word. How will people know if we don't tell them? We can become church in the coffee shop as we're talking to our friends. That's church. Church is this on a Sunday when we gather together to give God praise and worship and to hear someone like me to spout off. To encourage and to provoke and to stir. It's the sick that need a doctor, isn't it? Many years ago, I was talking to my brother-in-law and I didn't know that within hours of this conversation, he would be dead. Didn't know that. And I sat there and I said, Brian, can I ask you to do something for me? He said, yeah. He loved me and I loved him. And I said, if you ever get in trouble, will you call on the name of Jesus? He went, well. I said, no, would you promise that to me? If you ever get in trouble, would you call on the name of Jesus? And he said, I will. And within 6 hours, he'd died. Septicemia. They wanted to amputate his ankles. It was too late. They put a line across his knees. It was too late. It went into his torso while they was having a conversation about where they cut. You see, we're to bring life, aren't we? And life is found in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what we've done, because we're all on the list. It doesn't matter who you are, but it does matter who you can be in Christ. It's a message, I believe, that we can minister to people around us. Let's not be afraid to judge rightly. Let's not be afraid to lift up his name. Let's not be afraid to examine ourselves. Let's not be afraid of his word. The Bible says that we will be persecuted. When we look through scripture, it tells us that on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled. And after they were filled, they were persecuted. Thank you, Lord. But he says, I will give you a way out. He's the way out. And that's the message we should be preaching to one another and to those around us. That's the message of reconciliation. That's what God has given you. He's given you a gift. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities. God wants you to use what he's called you to use. In Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love. You can disagree with me, I can disagree with you. I might get a bit passionate. You might be offended. But why do I speak the truth? I speak the truth because I love. I speak the truth because I love. If one of my children are walking towards the road and there's a car coming, I'm not going to say, stop. I'm going to shout. And I'm going to grab them by the hair if I have to and pull them back in. And they'll get home and say, Dad, you offended me. I don't care. I did it because I love you. I did it because I love you. And so it's okay if you get offended. Let's speak the truth in love. We will grow, if we do that, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's me and you. If you want me to preach on the body, I haven't got time. But that's me and you. We are the body. We should support one another, not pull each other to bits, but support each other. But you need to be able to speak the truth to me in love. You can disagree with me if you want, but not all at once. One at a time. I can only take so much. But if you are sincere and you love me, you can challenge me with anything. But please inspect my fruit. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, Christ Jesus. From him, the whole body joined together and supported by every ligament, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's a challenge right there. It's for you to wrestle with the truth. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. I believe on this subject that we're alluding to and we're speaking about, that the church has been hijacked. The church has been hijacked because you and me, we get stuck in conversations about one particular thing. Listen, I don't care what your orientation is. I don't care if you are a man and you want to transition into a woman. That's your business and not mine. But I do care about your eternal perspective. And I do care that I have an opportunity to speak the truth into your life and tell you this. Seek God and he'll show you. A statement I want to make in front of us as a church, because this is such a big subject. If you have someone who's struggling, male and female, the Bible says that a husband will leave his mother and be cleaved to his wife. They will become one flesh, the one flesh union under the marriage of the two people coming together for life, whether you have a certificate or not. Anything outside of that, Jesus says, is sexual immorality. My kids are living in sexual immorality. Some of yours are living in sexual immorality. We're all on the spectrum. I was living in sexual immorality till God got hold of me. We're on the list. This is the truth. This is the imperfection. That's why we need God. So if you know anyone who's on the spectrum, you know anyone who's on the list, do you know they're welcome in this church? But they'll hear the truth of God's word, the truth that God loves them, the truth that they don't have to stay in sin, that they can repent and move forward. The truth that they're on a journey and it's for them to wrestle with God. The truth is that I can't give them salvation, only Jesus Christ can. The truth is that we all stumble and fall at times. The truth is that we all have rotten fruit in our lives. That's why we come to the table. That's why we say, Lord, this is in remembrance of you, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. There's a lot in this, I know, but listen to what I'm not saying and listen to what I am saying if it's relevant for your growth. But this is a place where you should be having the conversation, not out there on social media. This is the place where you should have the conversation. This is where you should be inviting your friends who are on the list, because you're on the list. You're on the list as well. I'm on the list. God so loved the world that he laid his life down so that we didn't have eternal death, but we had eternal life. That's the gospel that we should be preaching. Listen to this. John 8:3. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, these guys knew the Torah. They brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses said that we can stone this woman. It's what Jesus didn't say, which was powerful. He didn't say, okay, the law of Moses said that you should bring the man and the woman. So where's the man? Jesus didn't say that, did he? Sometimes what we don't say is just as powerful as what we do say. Now listen to what he says. Don't misinterpret to what he says. Jesus did not see an adulteress. He saw a woman who'd committed adultery. See what I'm saying there? He didn't see an adulteress. He saw a woman who committed adultery. And he put a challenge out to the church around him. And he said, listen, if you are righteous, if you've never sinned, if you're not on the list, you pick up a stone and you stone her first. And it says they started to leave with the elders first because they realized my life is not perfect. It's a hard message, but a true message. Let's not see the adulterer. Let's see the woman. Let's not see the sin. Let's see the person. Let's not see the judgment. Let's see the answer to the judgment, which is Christ. You know, when we look through the teachings of Christ, we don't have to make stuff up. It's there. It's encouraging. This one here, this is my last scripture. Matthew 8, verse 2. A man with leprosy. Now just get the picture. Here's a man who is full of scab and boils. And he was not allowed to come close to the population. He was unclean. He had to be outside. Here's a leper that nobody wanted to be around. And this is what happened. He had leprosy. He came and knelt before him, Jesus this is. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, He was cleansed of his leprosy. God, in the person of Christ, didn't see a leper. He saw a man who had leprosy. He saw a man who had leprosy. When you see people and you're with people who you don't agree with and you see lifestyles that you don't agree with, see the people. See that God came for them. That's the gospel of the church that we should be preaching. We preach the truth, but we preach it in love. We tell the truth, but we tell it in a way that they can understand. Let's not see the leper. Let's not see the adulterer. Let's see the person. Let's see the man and let's see the woman. Let's see the child who's struggling with their sexuality. Let's see the addict that's struggling with the addiction. Let's see the turmoil that this world is in and pray for them. If my people who are called by my name will seek my face, humble themselves and pray, surely I will pour out. I'm going to use Sonia as an example because I love her and I love Jeffrey, so please don't let me upset you in this. When I see Jeffrey, I don't see a man with Alzheimer's, I see a man. I see a godly man. I hope you can grab my heart on this, because this is such a massive subject that the world has hijacked the church, because they just come in on one angle. And I'm saying to us as a church, invite them from the highways of the byways, those that are unclean so they can be clean, the leper so they can find Jesus, the adulterer so they can find salvation. Yeah? Amen? Let's invite our worship team back. And if you have to listen to this again, listen to it so you can grab my heart. We can judge, but judge rightly. Let's be fruit inspectors. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Father, we thank you that at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So soften our hearts, Lord, that we may see people as you see them, that we may taste, we may understand, that we may walk in the freedom that you've called us to. Father, we thank you that we are sinners saved by grace, but we don't stay in that point of sin. We walk in the freedom that you've given us. Father God, I pray that you would help us to be salt and light, as the Beatitudes tell us. I pray, Father God, that we would be the blessed peacemakers. I pray, Father God, that we will be those that will be able to take out sawdust from other people's eyes, because you've given us a clean heart. Father God, come and anoint us, equip us, enable us for such a time as this, that we may walk in love, but we may walk in truth. We may judge not as a hypocrite, but we'll ask you to clean us first so that we can judge rightly. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.